Been working through this one small passage of scripture. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 11. We've been working through this passage of scripture every single week. And here's the thing that I've discovered as I look at it every week, as I prepare for being here with you, I find something new and fresh in it. And I hope you are too. Some really simple words that are coming from Jesus, but that have a huge and powerful impact on us. And so I want to take a look at it again today. And I want you to lean into the idea that maybe there's something fresh and new that God wants you to hear from this passage of Scripture today. Beginning at verse 28, it says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion?" We've been asking you those questions every single week. And the truth is that a lot of us are. Maybe you're physically tired, emotionally tired, relationally tired. Maybe you're spiritually tired. But whatever it is, we all get tired. We all burn out. And he says, hey, come to me. Get away with me. Go on a road trip with me. That's what this whole thing has been about, is you getting away with him, discovering what truths he wants you to know, what he wants you to discover. But that can't happen if you're not willing to get away. He says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. See, here's the thing that you got to grab a hold of. There's a life out there that's better than where you are right now. It is, I promise you. There's a better life for you, but in order to do that, you have to be the one, go to the one who gives us life, who created all of that future for you, all of that hope that resides for you. You got to be willing to get away with him. He goes on. He says, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. See, a lot of us want that life, but we want it to be just handed to us. We don't want to do any work for it, right? We don't want to get involved in it. We just hope it happens by osmosis. You know, you think, well, there's something magical in the air here in this building, so if I just show up at the building, then I'm going to discover all the life. And maybe that is. Maybe you will have that miraculous kind of, you know, experience in the moment, but maybe it's a journey that you've got to be willing to take. How much effort are you putting into it in order to learn, he says, the unforced rhythms of grace? Notice this word. As I was looking at it this week, I kind of keyed in on this word, learn. See, a lot of us don't want to put any effort into it. We don't want to learn. But this whole life that you have for you is something you learn. It's something you put into practice. It's something that is developed in you. And then you will discover the unforced rhythms of grace, right? So how much learning are you putting in? How much effort are you putting on? Jesus goes on, says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. It'll be perfect for you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And another word that I focused in on this week as I was reading is this word company. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about who are you keeping company with? Who are you hanging out with? Because I stated this, if you show me the people you're allowing right up next to you on the road trip with you, I'm going to help you discover where you're going to end up. Because who we're with determines where we end up, right? And we've been kind of challenged to look at our close relationships, these people that we're allowing to influence us and impact us. And what Jesus is saying is keep company with me. Company is not something you just do here and there. When you keep company with somebody, it's consistent, right? It happens over and over and over again. Some of you think keeping company is coming and hanging out here for an hour on Sunday. No, that's not keeping company with Jesus. He says, I want to be a 24/7 kind of experience with you. I want to do life with you. I want you to discover the life that I have for you. And so today I want to ask you a couple of really important questions. Two big questions that are necessary as we move towards concluding this series. Two important questions that you got to be willing to ask yourself. The first one is this: where are you in your spiritual journey? I want you to take account today. Just be honest. Because you're on a spiritual journey. And it may be a spiritual journey away from God, or it may be a spiritual journey towards him. But we're all on a spiritual journey, and I'll come back to that in a moment. But where are you? Are you leaning in or are you leaning away? Be honest with yourself. Some of us would be kind of wandering aimlessly. I call those spiritual tourists. That's what some of you are. You're spiritual tourists. You're just wandering aimlessly, hoping you find something cool to look at, right? Hoping that maybe something will happen to you. You'll bump into something interesting, and that's how you're doing your spiritual life. Some of you are lost. You're on the journey, but you have no clue where you are. You ever been really, really lost? I'm talking about lost, where you just like, I have no clue where I am. What do, right? Some of you are parked. You're in a rest area, and you've decided you're not going any further. And you're just napping, all right? Or you're hanging out at those little Coke machines and just hoping maybe you'll figure out what you're going to do next. But you've just parked. You're stopped. Others of us are trying to move forward, but we're sluggish. We're just kind of stuck. We don't really know, you know, we don't have any really energy or any fortitude. It's just kind of like, yeah, I'm doing it, but I'm really not finding anything there. And then others of us are really pushing forward and discovering that free and light life that Christ promises us. Where are you? You've got to be willing. Listen, today you've got to be willing to take a look at where are you? Be real with yourself. Are you a tourist? Are you stopped? Are you lost? Are you moving forward but reluctantly? Are you moving forward with energy? Which one are you? Because we're all one of those. And that's an important question. There's a second important question that you need to be willing to ask yourself. Does your spiritual journey matter? I mean, because that's an important thing. Because if it doesn't matter, then what are we doing here, right? What's the point? Does it really matter to you? When was the last time you took account and decided, you know what, this thing I'm doing, when I go to church or when I hang out with believers or when I read my Bible or when I talk to God, it really matters. Because your spiritual journey, listen, if nobody's told you, you matter. And therefore, your spiritual journey matters. You matter to God. You matter to us. You matter to the world because you were created to impact it in a positive way. You matter. If nobody's told you that, let me just say it again. You matter. As a matter of fact, turn to your neighbor right now. Just look at him and say, you matter. You matter, right? All of us matter. We're important. And our spiritual journey matters. See, a lot of us think that we're just kind of here for a short time and that none of this really matters. But let me give you a really neat thought in a big idea way that you need to focus in on. The essence of your life with Jesus, the very core, the very purpose and reason that you're here is always to journey in hope and faith towards his promises. About 3 weeks ago, I shared with you this big thought. We find rest in hope. Remember when we talked about that? Now, what is hope? All right, I was just sitting backstage. Michael Mishu, who is our campus pastor here at Tyrone, he has a brand new little baby boy named Liam. He was backstage. I almost walked out here with him just because I wanted to steal him for a moment. But he's a baby. He's brand new. I don't know how many weeks he's old. Maybe 6, 7, 8 weeks old. Right? And he's sitting backstage and I'm looking at him and I'm going, that's hope, potential, everything out in front of him, life. That's how God sees you, as this fresh new thing. And he wants you to know that you're to journey towards that hope that he has for you. There's hope for you. Some of you don't think that, right? Some of you look at it and say, there's no hope for me. As a matter of fact, you might be sitting somebody next to somebody that you think there's no hope for, right? And you're here hoping maybe that they'll find some hope, right? There's hope for all of us. There's potential. There's future. There's next for all of us. All of you have a next. I don't care how old you are. You have a next. There was a lady in our 8 o'clock service who I love. She's one of my favorite people in the world. And she's 90, I think she's 94 now. And I looked right at her this morning when I was speaking at that service. And I looked right at her and said, you have a next. And she nodded her head at me. I have a next. I'm on purpose. So you have to move and journey. So if that's true, if your hope and your next is going to be fulfilled in the promises that God has for you, your job then is to move towards that. It matters. Your journey matters. The great philosopher Desjardins, he said it this way. He says, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. See, we forget this is not permanent. Right? This is not it for us. This is a temporary part of a bigger experience for us. That life is bigger than what we're just experiencing here. We are spiritual beings. You are created in your DNA to have a journey with God. And by the way, that journey is eternal. A lot of people say, well, when I get to eternity, I'll deal with all that. No. Eternity is now. You're in it. This is just one piece of it. The question is, how are you caring for that? How are you caring for that spiritual creature that you are? You're not a human being. You're a spiritual being. And God created you and placed in your DNA a desire to know Him, to find the hope He has for you, to discover the life for you. Get this, God created a life uniquely for you because you matter. And therefore, the journey matters. One of my favorite passages of scripture is found in Isaiah. If you got your Bible, it's in the Old Testament. If you just let your Bible fall like halfway open, that's probably going to be Isaiah. You're going to hit it there, Psalms or Isaiah. It'll be right close there. I want you to look at this passage of scripture, Isaiah chapter 40. It's one of my favorite verses or little passages. Has so much to say to us about the journey. Check this out. He says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Now, let me just stop for there. The prophet, Isaiah, is talking to a group of people like I'm talking to you. And I got to tell you, some of you are the most frustrating people in the world. You're just frustrating because I stand in front of you. A lot of you sit in the same locations every week. You come to the same services. I can just kind of set my watch. Here they come. You're 5 minutes late, which most of you are. I know we don't expect you here. We just 9:30-ish, right? But I know you, and you come, and every week you sit here like this. Right? And I'm sitting here going, are you getting this? Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Right? I'm trying to engage with you. You just frustrate the fire out of me. And that's what's happening with Isaiah. He's talking to people like you. And he's going, do you not get this? Have I not told you this before? So listen. Listen this time. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the earth. And He thinks you matter. You know the guy I'm talking about, right? Who kind of did this in oceans. He will not grow tired, it says. He will not grow weary. See, you and I get tired and weary, right? Jesus called us out. He said, hey, are you worn out? You burned out? God doesn't get burned out. And His understanding, no one can fathom. He is so much greater. Listen, the moment you try to figure out God, you limit Him. The moment you try to put God in a box that you can understand and try to wrap your hands around, you totally make Him less than what He is. He's the everlasting God, the creator of the universe. And Isaiah is he's looking at people. Have you not heard this? Listen, one more time. Let me tell you one more time. Do you know who we're talking about? Do you know why you're here? See, that's what Isaiah is trying to figure out. And then he goes on. He says this. He says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Now get this. I want you to check this out. When you and I get weak, we think all of our power is gone. See, what he's saying is when you get weak, you have a power source that is in you and around you and for you that you're not even tapping. He says you don't have to get weak because he increases the power of the weak. That means you have power in you. You're just not using it. He goes on. He says even youth get tired. Even youth get weary. And even young men stumble and fall. I mean, it doesn't matter where you are. It's not an age thing. It's not a socioeconomic thing. It's not a positional thing. It has nothing to do with it. He said, everybody gets tired. Everybody gets weary. But, he says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It's like, you know, your phone, you plug it in and all of a sudden it's like, yay. Right? I can plug in. You can plug in. And you can renew your strength. He says, now, and he says, and let me show you what it looks like. He says, they, those who do that, that plug in, they will soar on wings like eagles. One of my favorite passages. See, when I was little, I used to have these recurring dreams. Anybody have recurring dreams over and over and over again? I used to have this dream over and over for years that I could levitate. And I dreamed that I would be like on a baseball field. And all of a sudden I'd say, hey, look at me. And I'd do this and I'd just start flying. And I dreamed that I'd be in class and say, watch me. And I'd just fly. And it was the coolest thing. And I'd wake up and say, man, I wish I could do that. You know, people ask me, they say, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? I'd want to fly. Now, remember, let's go back to Matthew 11. What did Jesus say? He said, I have a promise for you. And the promise is that you can live freely and lightly. What creatures in the world live most free and light? The birds, right? Those with wings. He says, you can soar like eagles. You can fly to heights that you can't imagine. He says, you'll run and not grow weary. Wouldn't that be great? And you walk and you'll not be faint. See, that's the promise that God has for you. Here's the deal. That makes your journey matter. So does it matter? Yes. Do you matter? Yes. Because you can fly if you'll just trust God and go on the journey. So maybe you're saying, well, Tim, I'd like that. I'd like to soar like eagles. I'd like to find that strength. I'd like to be able to persevere and keep going. So how do I get there? Well, you got to prepare yourself. So I want to give you just some simple little things that you got to be willing to do. Okay, the first one is this. You got to identify the road you're on. I already asked you a question. Where are you in your spiritual journey? Okay, so right now, in your worship, God, hide it if you want. All right, don't let anybody see it. But just be honest with yourself. What road are you on? Is that road taking you to God or away from Him? Is that road going to get you? Is what you're doing today going to get you to where you believe God wants you to be? If not, you need to change roads. I mean, it's kind of like saying, I want to go to Miami, but you get on I-75 North. You're not going to get there. Yeah, but I want to go I-75 North. I want to go that way. But you said you want to go to Miami. Oh, I want to go to Miami, but I want to go this way. No, not going to happen. Well, I'm offended by that. I'm offended that you have to tell me that I have to go south. No, I'm just telling you what's true. Be real with yourself. Is what I'm doing today going to get me to where I want to go? What road are you on? Second thing you got to be willing to do is prepare for the journey. Some of you think this is preparing for the journey. Well, I come to church for an hour on Sunday, I'm prepared for the journey. No, you're not. That's like saying, I walked around the block, so I'm ready to climb Mount Everest. You get it? You're not. You have to prepare. You got to work. You got to exercise. You got to be willing to put in the energy. Next thing you got to do is you got to map out your journey. Do you know there's nothing wrong with mapping out your hopes for your life? There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, God loves that. We do a thing here with our staff called goal mapping. What we do is we help them to dream, and they dream in the context of what they believe God is leading them to do. And then they draw a map of how they're going to get there. Steps, simple processes. What do you want to do? What do you want to be? How far do you want to go? What do you want to see your life like? Draw it. Dream it. Circle it. Pray over it. Watch what God does with it. Next thing we got to do is we got to pack for the journey. You got to have provisions. Listen, if you're going to go hike the Appalachian Trail and you decide I need some provisions, so you swing by the Circle K or the Speedway and get a pack of those little cheese crackers and a Mountain Dew, you're not going very far. Right? Because you're not prepared. If you're going to hike the Appalachian Trail, man, we're going to go to Bill Jackson. We're going to get you some shoes, a backpack, a pole. We're going to maybe get a tent, a sleeping bag that'll carry. We're going to examine and look at what the temperatures are going to be as we go. What time of year is it? We're going to put a lot of work into it, and we're going to pack. So we're going to prepare and pack for this journey. Some of you are not packed. You're not prepared. You don't have a map. So you can't start. Because here's the problem. Some of you are sitting on ready. You've been sitting, you know, when a track person gets down and they get in the blocks, you know what I'm talking about? Some of you have been in the blocks for years. No wonder you're tired. You're just... That's exhausting. You got to start, and then you got to stay the course. You got to keep on. Don't give up. How many things have you given up? And you got to trust that God's going to guide you. Let me give you this really big idea. If you don't lock into any big idea I give you today, lock into this. Where God guides, He provides. If God leads you to it, He's going to take care of you. Where God gives you a plan, He gives you parts. All the parts you need. But you've got to be willing to take that trip. Let Him guide you. Who's guiding your life right now? You? Your friends? By the way, I'm going to be talking a lot about that next week. You don't want to miss next week. Who's guiding you? Who's controlling you? The internet? Facebook? Some talking head? Who's guiding your life? God wants to guide your life. And when He guides, He provides. Check this passage in Isaiah 58. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. You ever, you know, maybe you're working in your yard, and this time of year when we get a lot of sun and heat, our yards get scorched, right? And you're looking at your yard and you're kind of like, at least I don't have to mow it, right? And you're kind of looking at it and you're thinking, do I just let it die or do I turn the sprinklers on? And then, but you drive down the road and there's always this one house in the neighborhood that is lush, green, oasis. And you're like, what are they doing? How do they make their yard look like that? See, that's the same thing with our spiritual lives. Some of you are walking through your life going, man, I'm scorched. Do I just let this thing burn? Do I really need to tend it? But then you see somebody who has this incredible life and you go, how do they get there? They're letting the Lord guide them. And the Lord will always guide you. Check out this passage, Isaiah 48. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. God wants to guide you. Some of you are just, you're just kind of stuck, right? You're at that crisis moment. It's kind of like, you're lost. You're driving and you're lost, and you come to this T in the road, and you're in the middle of nowhere. You have no idea where you are. Siri's gone to lunch. Everything is shut down, and you're sitting there, and you're going, do I go right or do I go left? That's where some of you are. You're at that critical point where you don't know where to go. How do you let your, who guides you in that moment? See, God says, look, I want to be the guide. I want to, in that crisis moment of which way you should go, I want to be the one you listen to. I want to be the one that guides your life. And I will do that. And I promise you that where I send you is where you should be. So this morning, I want to I want to conclude by taking you to a passage of Scripture. It's in a book in the Bible called Titus. It's one that we don't look at very much. It's a small little book. It tends to be overlooked. It's in the New Testament towards the latter part. And so if you want to flip there, that's cool. If not, I'll bring it on screen for you. But I want to just share this passage of Scripture with you. I'm not going to commentate much on it because I just think it just speaks. You know, sometimes you just need to read Scripture and just let it speak to you, right? Check out what it says. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Sin, right? We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Does that kind of sound like our world today? I mean, that's what we see, right? But notice what he says. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, Jesus, he saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his, love this word, mercy. See, when we're in the pit, when it's just all around us and we're just worn out, mercy's a great thing, right? He goes on. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us, notice, generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become, get this, heirs. You know, remember that guy that created, remember the one Isaiah said, hey, do you know who we're talking about here? The creator of the world, the one that did this and the ocean appeared, blinked and mountains, that guy, he wants you to inherit all that. That's the way he wants you to have. Let me tell you something. If somebody across the country, I don't care where they lived, told me I had a boatload of inheritance, I'd get in the car and take the trip. Right? He says, heirs, having the, there's that word, hope of eternal life, the hope. And then notice this. This is a trustworthy saying. You can bank on it. You can write it down and mail it in. It's guaranteed. And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful. Remember last week we talked about choose your friends carefully. Choose where you're going carefully. Look at where you are. Be honest with you. Be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good, going the right direction. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. That's a powerful thought, guys. And out of that one passage of Scripture, I think this big idea sums it all up. A new life is possible. It's possible. For you. Not for everybody else, not just for me, but for all of us. A new life is possible. Let me tell you how you get there. Lean into this. Watch carefully, okay? A new life is possible because of God's love. For God so loved, put your name in the blank, you, that he gave his son. Because you matter. And your life matters. And the journey you're on matters. A new life's possible, but you got to be willing to start. It's possible because of God's love. It's possible because of God's mercy. There's that word. Despite all of the garbage attached to you, you can know that new life. It's possible because of God's grace. You don't deserve it, but it's a gift. Anybody ever given you a lavish gift? And you just go, why did you buy this for me? I just wanted to. Yeah, but I don't deserve it. I know. I just wanted to give it to you. But you spent too much. I know. See, God's looking at you and going, I just want to give this to you. You don't deserve it. You don't have to. A new life is possible because of God's grace, and a new life is possible because of God's Son. That's it. Love, mercy, grace, Jesus. That's why we're here. You frustrate me. Because some of you aren't hearing that. But I pray you heard it today. Let's pray together. So as you bow your head on all of our campuses, would you just lean into the idea that a new life is possible for you? God loves you so much that he sent his son, and he offered you a gift of mercy and grace. And it's only possible in him. No other way. You can't manufacture it. You can't produce it. You can't earn it. You can't find it on your own. It's a gift. Question: have you received it? Have you accepted the Son, Jesus, who is the way? He is the truth. He is the life. Have you done that? If not, man, please don't just be somebody who comes and sit with their arms folded today. Lean into that. Hear that. And at least entertain the idea that maybe a new life is possible for you if you're willing to take a road trip. Journeying with God. Journeying with Christ. You say, Tim, I don't know how to do that. In the same way you receive any gift, you just take it. Something like this. Father, I know that you love me. And I know that I'm sinned and I'm failed. I know that I've missed the mark. I know that I'm left to my own, I'll get lost. I'll make wrong turns, I'll make bad decisions. But if I trust you and the gift you gave me in Jesus, I can find the life you want for me. So today, I am giving myself to Jesus. I am giving him my life, my next. I want him to be my hope. I want to go on a road trip with Jesus. If you just prayed that prayer, you're on the way to new life. You're on the way. So I want to encourage you. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing a song. I want to encourage you. Let us talk with you. Let us pray with you. Let us help you. There's a fantastic journey ahead of you if you'll just trust Jesus with it. God, we come to you. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. We're going to worship you. Some of us are going to respond. Some of us have just begun a road trip. Lead us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing.